You see, lads, eventually the Starks are always right. Winter does seem to come. If you followed along at all on my second channel, Sinbad Trains, you would know that I have been on a major marathon kick these last 8 or 9 months, starting off with Mesa Marathon in February, and now finally culminating and finishing at Twin Cities this fall, in which I ran a 3:17. As a result, though, my body weight went from 172 pounds now down to around 165, which is pretty light at 6 feet tall. And so I feel called to do a classic winter bulk. I've always been afraid of bulking properly because when I first started my lifting journey 3 years ago, I was around 27% body fat. I was a little chunky, I was definitely out of shape. And so every time I would start bulking again and my face would begin to lose shape, I would stop after 2 or 3 months and basically just do a bunch of cardio, get the fat off, and also lose muscle at the same time. And so I do have some amount of muscle, but I never progressed or transitioned over into the territory of being truly jacked. And the truth is, I'll always be on the leaner side. I enjoy having a smaller build rather than a really, really well-muscled bodybuilding look. I kind of like looking elegant and light, but I respect the fact that time is running out, and I really am down to my last few seasons in which I'm completely unencumbered in the sense that I don't have like a family or kids yet. And I'm still young enough where I can put on muscle with relative ease. And so this winter, the arc is gonna be all about weightlifting, strength, muscle, power. And perhaps you're in a season in your life where you're looking to do the same. You wanna do that classic winter bulk. You wanna get jacked. Well, this video is gonna cover my strategies on how I'm doing just that. The first idea I wanna talk about in this video is that you need to do progressive overload on the compound big six movements. When it comes to bodybuilding advice, I tend to follow people and respect people who have sort of a no-nonsense, simple approach to lifting. So in a sense, I resonate with bodybuilders more like Tanner Shuck, if you've seen any of his content, more than the Jeff Nippards of the world. All respect to them, I'm sure they know what they're talking about and there's a lot of value in what they say. But science-based lifting, it just doesn't appeal to me because the world is messy and you kind of need to hammer your head against the wall to get results. And if you're too caught up in minutiae, too caught up in details, at least I found in my life, it doesn't lead to results. So I'm following more of like a hybrid approach between strength and hypertrophy. Some days, high volume, low reps, dumbbells. But really, the way I'm tracking the fact that I'm actually putting on muscle more than anything else is if I become stronger at the key lifts. For me, this is going to be bench press, squat, overhead press or military press, deadlifts, weighted pull-ups, and dips. Six key movements. And especially when it comes to aesthetics, weighted pull-ups and bench press are going to be the most important because it's all about the chest, shoulders, and arms when it comes to looking as aesthetic as possible. I know legs are important, and legs are really important to train from like a balance perspective or just to stimulate great testosterone production across the board. So I won't neglect legs, and I'm definitely going to try to work up to like a 315 squat. But at the same time, my main priority is just building up a really robust upper body. And so for you, you're probably going to want to do the same. The next idea I want to talk about in this video, there are a handful of strength metrics that I'm paying attention to especially. So perhaps I'm trying to get to 225 on the bench for 3 reps, 135 on the overhead press for 2 to 3 reps, and weighted pull-ups for plus 75 my body weight for 5 or 6 reps. If I can hit those consistently and then maybe knock out like 20 to 30 dips in a row or do plus 45 pounds on the weighted dips, I think that'll probably put me in a good position where I'll look really good, especially when I lean out after this bulk. Idea number two in this video then is that accessory work is useful, especially on like non-lifting days. I'm someone who prioritizes like working out every day. And so oftentimes that can come at the expense of recovery. Some people I follow who I think do give great advice are like Greg O'Gallagher from the channel Kino Body. And he talks about how he gets the maximum benefits from training just 2 or 3 days a week because it leaves plenty of time over for the body to recover. And then that leaves a lot of room to focus on strength. And I found a lot of value in that to a degree, but it also leaves me at certain points going to the gym and knowing that I have to do a PR on bench that day and maybe add 2.5 pounds or 5 pounds to the bench for five sets of five or something like that. But then I'm really nervous because the last time I hit bench, I like barely got my lift up. So now to add 5 pounds on top of that is difficult. The bench press is also a movement where you really need a spotter to go all in and to progress on it. And then because you're focusing on strength and not hypertrophy, not like a ton of volume, you just end up waiting a lot or just like procrastinating in between sets just because you're nervous to go into the lift. You know, sometimes with really big movements, once you get up to a certain point, you just feel like strained. You don't look forward to that training session because it's like, oh my gosh, last time I did like 385 on the deadlift for three sets of three or something, and it took everything for me to do that. And then if I fail the lift this time, then I'm actually not going to get that stimulus. And so I find that it often is best to do a combination between strength and hypertrophy. So the main goal for me is really to just cook my body, just like completely tax my body during that training session and to progress in some capacity. So sometimes low rep ranges, like three sets of three, is extremely effective in that regard. But sometimes it means, like the last time I did deadlifts and I did like 405 for three sets of three, and I just feel like, damn, anything more than this is like going to be really hard for me to progress in. It might mean switching up the movement so that you go for high volume, like incline dumbbell press for like 8 to 12 reps or 15 reps even. So I think playing with rep ranges is really important because I don't want to be in a position where I plateau in any one movement for too long. Bruce Lee had a great quote during the peak of his career in which he talked about how he believed in learning from everyone and taking what he could from everyone and also then just letting go and doing his own thing. In my last 3 years of learning how to train and trying different modalities, I found that I find value from everyone's style of training. My old bodybuilding coach and fitness trainer, Austin, he believes in 5 days a week and like just more sets, more reps. He really finds a lot of value in like machine weights rather than just like back squat. So he would have me doing the hack squat all the time. And yet when I look online and hear Kino Body talk about his training split, he basically prioritizes 2 days a week, lots of steps, lots of time spent in recovery. For someone as manic as me, Kino Body's training split doesn't often make a lot of sense because I like can't get myself to go to the gym just 2 or 3 days a week, or I can't stop myself from running because I get so much value from it. But I like seeing progressive overload on some of the key lifts that he talks about, like incline bench press or the weighted pull-up, because it gives you something, like gives you a goal to set that's like metric driven and a number. Whereas in a classic bulk, sometimes it's hard to know like what goal you're working towards. You're just working towards seeing the weight go up. So having a mixed approach and focusing on strength some days and, you know, progressive overload on the compound lifts some of the days, while also letting go and letting it just be like a high volume hypertrophy day on other days, I think that mixed model is really important, so long as the intensity is really, really there. Which brings me to the next idea. Consider hiring a coach or a personal trainer who will completely obliterate you if you can, or if you can't, then have a lifting buddy. In his books, The Encyclopedia of a Bodybuilder, or even his other book, Total Recall, which logs Arnold Schwarzenegger's journey from like a young man in Austria all the way up to becoming a Hollywood star, and then eventually a politician, he talks about the importance of having a lifting buddy. It was like one of the number one rules he mentions in his book is like, always have a training buddy. Always have a training buddy. For a while there, for him, was Franco Colombo. And I didn't really understand that. Like, why is having a training buddy so important? And it's because when you have the right lifting partner, they can just drive an intensity from you that you simply could not produce on your own. And intensity, training intensity, is so, so important on a bulk. Because if you're not training sufficiently intensely enough, you'll put on more fat than muscle. And that's not ideal. My old fitness trainer, Austin, he was so great because no one would push me like he would. And I would end up seeing white. Like, I would end up not even being, like, aware of my reality after my leg days with him. And even my upper body training sessions with him. It was so, so taxing that he really was the best personal trainer a guy could ever ask. But he moved to Bali, you know, with his family. So I don't have access to him. But so I've been looking into other bodybuilding coaches. And I'm now doing like tryouts with certain trainers. But I think it's important if you're taking on a bulk, have someone who can push you really, really hard. Now, not everyone will always have, you know, access to the resources to have like 2 or 3 training sessions a week with a personal trainer. I mean, even for me, that costs anywhere from $500 to $800 a month, which is something that I can invest in, especially for like bursts of time. But it's not accessible to everyone all the time. But you can always find a lifting buddy, and you really have to test people out and see who will push you. Ideally, if you can get someone who's more jacked than you, who's like completely focused, that's ideal. And you need that person who like understands how you're working, understands your body, and like can push out more reps from you. This even means like, you know, if you're hitting dumbbell bench press or incline dumbbell bench press. They help you get the weights up to the starting position. And then if you're struggling with reps, they can just give you just the right amount of support to knock out the last few reps. You need that kind of stimulus. You need that kind of support. You really need that gym environment that pushes you really, really hard. And if you can find that, it's amazing because you're giving yourself a caloric surplus on a bulk. You can put those extra calories to use with like extreme intensity. On a cut, that intensity, it's good, but it's not as important, especially the number of sets and reps, because maintaining muscle, you only need like two sets for a body part to like more or less keep your muscle on a cut. You will lose some muscle, but you don't have to go as hard. But on a bulk, it's like you got to go as hard as you possibly can because you have all these extra calories and the body needs a reason to put the muscle on rather than fat. Especially if you have Indian genetics like me. I mean, we are a people fueled by working on farmlands and carbohydrates and surviving famine, really, from the 1800s. So our bodies are extremely resilient at holding onto body fat and really not having much use for muscle because we were built for endurance. The Indian man was built for endurance and storage of body fat to survive. And so if you're Indian, especially, bro, you have to dig as deep as you possibly can and just like go as close to failure as you can. And I really believe that the intensity component of this is so damn important. And so to address this, you might as well try to get around people who can push you really hard, whether that be a personal trainer who you're paying or a gym buddy who, you know, gets it and is really going for it like you are. This brings me to the next idea of the video, biking and swimming. I have always been an avid runner and I just love the endorphin high when it comes to endurance training, like long distance running. I'll honestly never stop doing that, but I'm forcing myself deliberately to pull back on the running this winter. And winter running, if you're a sicko like I am, it's extremely rewarding. But I realize I can't do more than 20 to 30 miles a week of running and keep the bulk going, you know, because eventually you just run out of room with the calories. And also it just builds up fatigue so that you don't have enough reservoir left inside you for strength. But cardio is still extremely important on a bulk. And cardio has enormous benefits in terms of longevity and long-term health and even like staying handsome. Cardio is actually vastly important. A lot of lifters don't recognize this. So there has to be some kind of cardio to keep the heart strong, to keep the blood flow moving. And also it prevents spillover to do cardio. It prevents spillover into fat when you do cardio. So what does this mean? More so this winter, it's going to be a lot more biking and swimming. One of my great achievements this summer is the fact that I learned how to swim finally. It's an amazing low impact way to burn a lot of calories. And it's something I'm fully going to be taking advantage of. You know, especially on recovery days, if your legs are completely sore and you do need to take a day or two off from the gym, I think swimming is going to be my winter superpower to staying lean while putting on muscle and while putting on strength. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be swimming for you, but it could just be a ton of walking or biking. I'm getting myself like an indoor trainer, a Wahoo, and I'll be doing some winter cardio running still. So the plan is still to burn like 500 calories actively, 500 to even like 700 or 800 calories actively while doing the bulk so that there's minimal spillover. And just in terms of like lifestyle, good health for the winter, good mental health, you want to keep cardio in the mix. You want to breathe, you want to stay oxygenated. It's so good for you. And winter air, it's actually delightful, man. It's so fresh. It feels so refreshing to be interacting with the environment in the winter. So it's good to keep getting your 12 to 14,000 steps in every single day, especially outside, and just to keep that cardio going, keep that as good as possible. It's incredibly rewarding and it's worth doing. This brings me to the next idea of the video, track every week. Bulking or cutting, if you're in a dedicated phase of your life or body composition is the goal, more so than performance, tracking is vastly important because you want to keep as much muscle as possible and you either want to burn as much fat or like prevent the gainage of fat as much as you can. Tracking is your number one friend in this regard. And so for me, more so than tracking my weight every morning, which I aim to do, it also is important to do some kind of scanner every week. Now, I like doing in-body scans much more than DEXAFIT because DEXAFIT's, you know, at least in Minneapolis, they're like $140 per scan. And the drive to go get a DEXAFIT done, it's like so far away. So an in-body scan, yes, they're notoriously inaccurate, But if you use the same scanner every week at the same time of day, especially on an empty stomach, and relatively even wearing like the same clothes, like the same weight of clothes, and the same amount of water intake inside you, it gives you a good gauge of like how you're doing. On a bulk, I really believe in a calorie surplus of maybe around 300 calories in surplus at first, up to 500 calories if you can really feel that your body is asking for those extra calories, in the sense that you're always sore and like you need more space for recovery. Effectively, what this should mean is that you're putting on half a pound total per week, or 2 pounds per month. If you do this, there's a good chance that both of those 2 pounds that you're putting on, like close to both of those 2 pounds, is pure muscle. If you're past an intermediate phase, putting on 2 pounds of muscle per month perhaps is not realistic, so maybe it would be more like 0.5 to 1 pound of muscle and then a full pound of fat that you'd be gaining every month. But if you're more like slightly novice phase right before intermediate phase like I am, then it's very reasonable to actually put on 2 pounds of muscle in a single month. And my goal is to gain almost exactly half a pound per week, 2 pounds per month. And for me, I'm hoping to gain as much muscle as I can during that time and minimize fat gain. If I'm going to be bulking up 15 pounds in the next 5 months, then I'm hoping like the majority of that is muscle, you know, like something like 70% muscle, 30% fat, as close as I can. And so a way to do that is to just track every week, because the in-body scan, it will give you a body fat percentage, and you can just see how you're doing and you can subtly make tweaks. It might mean bringing down calories a touch on certain weeks if you feel like, you know, you've overextended and you've just allowed some amount of spillover to happen. These things you can monitor very tightly and then just constantly be making sure that the progress you're making is for strength. And it's a balancing act that we play that I think should be very fun during the winter months. Which brings me to the last idea of the video. Focus on the forces that are anabolic outside of training and eating. There's a lot that goes into success on a bulk than just training and eating. Even though nutrition is vastly important, I mean, the calories are vastly important, it's also paying attention to what you eat. For instance, beet juice before a lift has sort of like a nitric effect where it helps promote blood flow to the muscles. It gives you a better pump to have beet juice. So it's one thing I started doing is having tart cherry juice or beet juice before and after lifts because it fuels recovery. Taking a nap after a lifting session can be very beneficial because, especially if your CNS has been incredibly taxed, a 20 to 30 minute nap after a lifting session can be really, really anabolic and also allow you to be productive for the rest of the day. Water, hydration. Drinking half a gallon of water during the first half of the day while you're lifting and then eventually getting to a full gallon of water throughout the day is actually incredibly, incredibly anabolic. And it's here where I want to give a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's video, which is Element. You might have heard of Element from Chris Williamson's podcast and many others, Andrew Huberman. But it's a electrolyte mix that I've been taking for almost 2 years now. It's allowed me to have greater progress even during marathon training. It's allowed my complexion to look better. And actually, you know, when I mix in a sort of electrolyte mix, some hydration mix into my water, it actually makes me want to drink more water. So Element is full of potassium and magnesium, all of these sort of minerals and micronutrients that our body depletes throughout the day. And hydration isn't just the water intake that we take in to stay fueled and stay hydrated, but also these salts that our bodies are constantly sweating out or excreting out that are really important. And especially when it comes to a muscle building phase, carbs and water are super important. Like, people don't realize that if they just did that, they had carbs and they drank a lot of water during their lifting sessions, that alone would give them a lot more energy in the gym to go harder and to get better results.
My next race coming up in just 2.5 months is Ironman 73 Haines City, in which I'm trying to go sub 6 hours. And so I'm definitely going to be carrying Element and drinking it with me on every single training session because it's just that important for recovery and for optimal performance during my sessions. If you want to grab yourself some Element, you can go to my link, drinkelement.com/Captain Sinbad. And with your purchase, you'll get a free sample on any order. I highly recommend them. It's literally the best hydration mix on the market today. The
last idea I want to make for this video is kind of a cheeky point, but you got to stay handsome. Take care of your skin during a bulk session. Dress well. It's winter time, so we're always more covered up, but the bulk is an opportunity for you to focus on your style and look as good as possible because it kind of just motivates you to stay sharp, motivates you to eat clean foods, stay on top of your haircuts, your beard trimming, keeping your space organized, all that. It's more of like a psychological rule of thumb. But stay handsome. Keep yourself looking sharp. try not to get your bulk calories from Skittles or things like that. Eat extremely clean, because the goal with the bulk is to really just be impressive and, you know, reach your potential with fitness and even longevity. You know, the two biggest indicators of how like long we're going to live and how well lived those years are going to be are your VO2 max, which is just like your cardiovascular strength and endurance, and how much muscle mass you're holding on to. So if you're going through a phase where you're building muscle, you're really investing in your longevity. You're investing in your future. And so you want to do that in a systematic and intelligent and kind of clean way. You know, you want to do that in a way that's really noble, sustainable, and disciplined, rather than kind of just like eating a bunch of Twinkies and then just hitting a bunch of PRs in the gym. But you're also just putting on body fat, and, you know, you're going to have to shed that fat off later. So then you're actually just going to get weaker. You're not actually building something. With a muscle building phase that's done clean, you're building something that you get to hold on to. And so if you're on a similar winter arc to me, we're going through a muscle building phase, I would love to hear whatever tips you have below on how you're approaching this winter. I think the winter is an amazing time to really lock in and just discover a new side of yourself. There's a real cleansing, healing, and spiritual element to winter that I find very beautiful. And dare I say, I'm looking forward to it. And so for anyone on this journey, to us, I say greatness is coming, and we will catch you in the next one. Cheers.